Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Paige Weiss, who is the founder and CEO of Tree Ring Digital. Under her leadership, the agency has created and developed hundreds of websites and become one of the top-ranked marketing agencies in Denver, Colorado. Paige and her company have been fulfilling the digital marketing needs of business owners, authors, and organizations for over a decade. Today, we're going to be discussing Paige's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Paige.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what really motivates you as an entrepreneur?
I think for me, it's been seeing how many possibilities are out there. Like you kind of hit one challenge and goal and you kind of like, whoa, there's more. Like, you know, getting into another industry to work with clients, you realize there's so much more out there. And so just really opening my eyes up to the amount of things and possibilities and really where you can go and take, whether it be your business or your goals or whatever it is you're trying to achieve and how much more is out there.
I love it. And how do you, you know, push yourself and grow as an entrepreneur?
I think for me, it was really, in terms of pushing myself, I find more of that motivation coming from just the clients and working with the clients and helping them achieve their goals and seeing that. And then, you know, for myself, it's just when I started, I had no idea. I was just doing freelance work. And so for me to, you know, hit some of those, the 5-year mark, for me to have my first employee, for me to have to start offering health insurance. And, you know, and as I continue to hit these hurdles along the way, it's just like, whoa, I didn't know that was possible. I didn't, you know. And so then it is like, well, what's the next step? What's the next thing?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that also continues to push me to, you know, see, like I said, that potential and go, holy crap, like this is possible. You can do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
I got into digital marketing. I had done a lot of like computery things as a kid growing up. I definitely found more of my time spent on the computer and like understanding it compared to like video games or, you know, being a super, super active kid. And so it was started when I was really young, but then into the digital marketing side, I had been laid off twice in architecture because of the economy back in the 2008 timeframe.
And was also
struggling with seizures at the time. And so was really looking for how do I work from home if I can't drive to jobs anymore? What do I do with my career if I, you know, if this is not a stable one and I've already been laid off twice by the time I'm, you know, I think I was 22, 23 coming out, you know, out of college and into. And so it was just a really interesting entry into the workforce for me. Mm-hmm. So really I got started in and out of just like a desperation of, I need to make money. I need to feed myself. I need to pay bills. Like, what can I do? And, you know, how do I also start to shift my life around the seizures and the health stuff, and so that they all fall together, that no matter what happens in the future, I'm set up for it. And so it really came from those things is where I started learning how to code and learning websites and understanding, you know, bringing that design background from a kid and like, you know, newspaper in school and whatnot into, and then also some of the architectural sides of lines, user experience, how are they navigating, you know, the triangle in the kitchen between the sink, the stove and the fridge and what that looks like. And so really, you know, it brought all my skills kind of together into one.
Interesting. So around that 2008 time, is that when you started freelancing or is that when you started Tree Ring Digital?
That's when I started freelancing, was around 2010 was when I finally started putting it out there. You know, my journey with that was I didn't come from corporate. So I didn't have, you know, let me bring all these clients with me. I didn't have, oh, let me go ask, you know, an old coworker how to solve this problem. It was really just someone else did it somewhere, so that must mean it's possible. You know, I mean, I'm not the first person, or I don't have, this isn't the first client that's tried to have this goal on their website. And so that's really how I got into a lot of the website design stuff. Mm-hmm. And then as I would hand those off to the clients, they would love the design and they'd be super happy with the experience, but they were frustrated that it wasn't converting. And that's when I started going, okay, like, let's look at the big picture then. What are we doing for marketing? And every time the answer was nothing. Oh, nothing, nothing, just referrals. And so once I finally was like, all right, well, let's take a look at that. How does the website and SEO apply together? How does the website and Google Ads work together? How does the website and your social presence work together? That's when like more of the agency and more of like the full service digital marketing stuff started to come into play too.
Very cool. So how do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
One of the big things that I say we focus on is marketing agencies focus on the conversion of their ads. Website companies focus on the user experience. And not very often do we see anybody following the journey from start to finish. So we pay attention to the messaging, whether it be on social, whether it be on SEO, paid ads. But, and we look at all of the statistics around that. But then we actually dive into the complete user experience on the website. I know we can drive traffic to any website, that like marketing does. I'm confident in that part of marketing, that we can always get people to a website and make numbers look good. Yeah. And the clients can be happy if we see that. But when it's not converting, it's just a waste of money. And right. So because of our experience in the website, and now it allows us to dive into conversion tracking, dive into the Google Analytics, dive into where are we losing them? Why are they not converting? Was it this page here? Do we need to add more information to it? And really looking at the full picture, and that we start to see the amazing results and clients really staying with us and retaining is that full process to and from.
Awesome. So what do you love most about running your agency?
For me, the two pieces are, I just love the collaboration of like the team and watching everybody's skill sets come out and watching, you know, how happy they are to be working together. Those aha moments they have is one of the pieces. And then the other is just helping businesses achieve their goals. I didn't have money when I started my business. It was just freelance. And how do I generate traffic and leads and build up this clientele? And so being able to work with clients and say, how do we best use your money? We understand that you have 1,000 places as a business owner that you should be distributing that money to. Yeah. And if marketing is a hub of it, are we using the right amount of marketing, and what is realistic to achieve your goals? And how do we do that on the budget that you're looking for? That's why we do an array of services, because I don't really believe in Google Ads as the right solution for every single company. And yeah. So be able to start to divide that up and go, hey, let's try this strategy, or let's combine these strategies and really put it together. That allows us to maximize that budget and really see results, instead of saying I need X amount of money, because that's just how our agency works.
Yeah. So when you were first starting out, how did you get those first few clients? How did you sign them up to start working with you?
I did a lot of trial and error, and I took it to Craigslist back in the day when this, you know, I mean, it was a really good spot to go to. And they were always changing their algorithms and very much like, hey, you can only post X amount of times per day. You have to do this. And I just remember asking myself often, like, why am I not getting any phone calls? Why am I not getting any, you know, people reaching out? What am I doing wrong? And to the point that I finally was like, we're going to make this work. And I had a system down. I knew exactly when to post to what accounts. I knew how to make my ads stand out compared to others. I knew how to get myself in front of people in so many different ways that after about 6 months of just nonstop Craigslist advertising for free, it just, I couldn't keep up anymore. And it just finally turned into, great, we just have a solid referral source. And now I can, you know, slowly back off and stop the Craigslist ads and just really built it off of referrals at that point then.
Interesting. So what were the biggest challenges that you had to overcome in the early days, and how did you overcome that challenge?
Early days, it was probably a little bit easier. Challenges were for me more finding the boundaries between not picking up the phone call at 11, just because it was a new client, and learning right. to start to limit my, you know, time of like no, 5 o'clock, 5:30, I probably should stop picking up phone calls. I also think I got a lot of business by, you know, being available that late, that people were just like, oh, great, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, can you help me? And like, I, you know, I'd get it done. So I think there are pros and cons to that, but really starting to set those boundaries. And then I'd say the other was, for me, kind of that first hire of people want to work with me, and trying to realize, like, how do I hand this off, though? I don't have enough time anymore. I'm not getting the quality of service I want to when it's just me. How do we introduce a second person to this? And does the team, or not the team, but do the clients respect and trust them as much as they trust and respect me? And so it was another, you know, challenge for me was, how do I not necessarily give up reins? That hasn't been a challenge through any of this, but convincing the clients to have that trust to work with them and not just me.
Right.
I do remember was another challenge that I did struggle with a lot. A lot of times they were a ghost. No one responded to them. A lot of times they were just emailing out of my inbox because I knew we'd get a response, where if, you know, they emailed out of theirs, there was zero response whatsoever. And so half the time it was just like, you exist, but no one actually knows that. They all just think they're talking to me, because that was the only way we could get people to get over that hurdle.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I've heard of other agencies doing that as well, and it working really well. So if you had one growth tip that you could share with other agency owners who were just starting out, what would that be?
Oh man, just one tip. Record and document like crazy. I think, you know, your processes, how this worked, what issues did you run into and how did you resolve it, so that you can quickly reference that in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty anal and OCD overall, that I think that has worked in my favor as I've grown.
Yeah.
But I know there's still things that, like, oh, I'll get to that, you know, next time. I'll do that next time. And realizing I haven't really been able to slow down and get back to that step. And so I did record a little bit in the beginning, but if I could go back and have just really slowed down and taken that time now, then I do know that it would be, you know, more helpful now. And that's kind of where it's, you know, when do you start? And so for us, it's been like, great, we'll do that now, so that in 5 years, we're not still struggling with this issue. But, you know, so it's better to start than never start. But I would probably have said, do it sooner.
Interesting. So where do you store all your SOPs that you're recording?
So we actually were using Google Drive for a really long time, and I finally just built an internal knowledge base for the team. That's kind of a subfolder of our website where they can log in and pull up videos. They can pull up training docs. We can pull up email templates. We can pull up how do you, you know, enter your time cards. And so we really just built it in more to the website. I'm a really, really big component of making the website work for you and a functional website.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when looking at where do we store all this? This isn't working the way we were using it in terms of Google Drive. It's just a mess, and sharing like access and whatnot, that I, you know, went back to the roots of website work for you, and let's build it into the website that way. And it's locked down from, you know, the rest of the world, if you will, but you can all access it and log in and then do the search and find what they're looking for.
Yeah. Very cool. I love that. So I'd love to pick your brain a little bit on sales. So what are your tips for bringing in more leads and closing more sales?
Bringing in more leads, you know, for us, it's really fun. I would say the niche, which is the typical thing. We don't niche though. And so for us, it's really being mindful and strategic about where you're networking, where you're spending your time, and where your ideal client is. And that goes back to our marketing side. I don't do a lot of Facebook advertising because our ideal client isn't there. Yes, we've gotten a lot of business from Facebook, but at the end of the day, it's not our ideal client. And so for us, it's like, maybe we go to SEO, or maybe we go to Google Ads instead. And so the more you can understand the customer's journey and where they're beginning their search, it just leads to more leads naturally. Have multiple types of lead generation tools out there. You know, we've got several in place that work really, really well, and it's not your typical white paper. You know, there's just other strategies where we have invested into the business and the marketing to build that stuff out, that work really well for us. And then in terms of closing, I don't have any background in any of this. I don't have background in, you know, the marketing side. I don't have a background in necessarily the web design and user experience. And so for me, I think it's just come from just being very honest and providing them like, what is the advice I would want to hear if I was my business? If I was talking to a marketing company, what would I want to know and hear and understand and provide that information and tell them? I've told clients, you're not in a long-term contract because this isn't working. Let's stop it and reevaluate instead of, oh, I'm just here for the money. Let's keep this going. And so being very, very transparent in that and looking for the same results and not necessarily being invested from a financial standpoint with the client, but invested in like, I want you to grow. I want you to succeed.
Yeah.
And how do we help you get there?
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's true. I think so many entrepreneurs, they don't have that background in sales, and it can be really intimidating in the early days before you get to that point where you're mostly based off of referrals. So, you know, were you ever in that position where, you know, you were working with a potential customer, you know, they saw the value, but they were just dragging their feet a little bit? Do you have any techniques to kind of stop that procrastination and sign the deal?
I'm not a super aggressive one. Anytime I've found that we're like, let's sign it, let's go, you know, like they slow down anyway, they sign the contract, they give us the deposit, and then I don't hear from them for 4 months because they're busy. So I've really kind of taken more of the approach of following up as opposed to like pushing them so hard to sign the paperwork.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I am a believer of like when it's the right time, they will be fully invested and committed and they'll get better results. Mm-hmm. But if it's a burden for them, then, you know, like they're not going to be fully invested. And it's really frustrating for our team if we're working with clients that aren't fully invested in it, because then the team starts to feel that same, they'll see it. We'll go on weekly calls and we're like, haven't heard from this client for, you know, 4 weeks, haven't heard from this client yet, still haven't heard. Their energy level drops, their motivation to get this completed drops. And so, you know, I'm not an aggressive sales pitch, like, hey, this is the line. I do think, you know, on helping and meet them where they're at and hearing what their goals are and explaining, hey, this is going to help you hit your goals. It may take time. Let's set up the expectation, but we need to start now. If you want to, you know, have a consistency in leads over time, then start SEO now. Don't wait until you need that lead. That's what all of our clients call us on. And they're like, well, I need leads right now. It's going to cost you more. So let's start now. Let's get that off your plate. Let's get the page rank going up so that when you do need the leads, we're consistent. Then they start to go, oh, okay. Like that makes more sense. So the more we can educate them on it, is really the approach we take than necessarily the hard sales approach.
I love that. Yeah, that makes so much sense. So what are your top tips for creating really happy clients?
Consistency in the user experience. We have learned that anytime we pull one piece of it out or go a slightly different direction, you know, like the customer experience isn't the same. Following up and just really making sure, like, is there a lack of communication? Was there a misunderstanding? Because that way they know that we're waiting on them for something, or they're like, sometimes we're waiting on a questionnaire back and it's like, it's been 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Like this is just supposed to be a quick in the blanks and let's move on. And so calling them, be like, what's going on? What do you need help with? And sometimes it's like, I just don't know. I'm struggling. Great. Just hit submit and we'll keep you moving in our process. And that's what the next phase is for you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just picking up that phone call is another one that, you know, keeps them really happy or just staying in touch so they know that we're still here. And then also delivering the results that we, you know, expected to and that we said we would, and following through that entire process, not just even to like, hey, your site's live, or hey, your marketing's been running for 3 months, but that consistency of, are you seeing the results you wanted? Are you able to maintain the site the way you're wanting? Are you getting what you wanted out of this, even after the last payment has been collected or the ongoing services, you know, are good? That follow-up really has helped us too.
Okay, interesting. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome when growing your agency to date? And how have you overcome that?
Employees and hiring, firing, all the good things that come around with HR. Not necessarily. I say I love every single aspect of business. I have enjoyed HR's maybe not my favorite. You know, but you build relationships with the employees. So it's hard when you do have to make tough and difficult decisions during times and, you know, trying to do everything you possibly can to make it work. And on the other front, you know, bringing on good talent is really hard. And especially, you know, in today's current market compared to even a couple years ago, it's harder. And so, you know, that piece for sure, we took last year to just really slow everything down. We were growing like crazy. We doubled during the pandemic. And yeah, it came along with a lot of, you know, employee issues. And I say that as in across the board and not like one hard one, but just how do we communicate in a digital space where we're all behind computers when we're such a collaborative team? How do we navigate feelings and frustrations when we can't have conversations with one another? How do we encourage them to get on Zoom so we can see face to face instead of just a group of black screens? You know, so it's weird as a digital agency that was ready to go. I mean, we were already hybrid model. That wasn't an issue for us. Mm-hmm. Just watching that breakdown and watching like, where is the team committed and everything? And where do we need to improve? Where can we take better care of the team? Mm-hmm. Those are the types of things that have been very much a hurdle and struggle. And I say that was probably our biggest focus the past year has been.
Okay. So what have been, you know, the learning experiences from growing your team and working through those growing pains? Are there any sort of lessons, like takeaways that you've learned from that you'd like to share?
Cover your ass is a good one. Making sure that you are, you know, documenting that you have your policies in place, making sure all of that stuff is there. I know early on it was a very small team. We loved it. I mean, it was great to be 3-4 people. It just, we couldn't keep up with demand and it just started to hurt customer service. And so I was loose on policies. I was loose on, hey, yeah, you can, you know, work from home today instead of, you know, the office, whatever. That as we grew, I really realized that structure is what was needed and that was missing. And so it was hard to bring on structure with those that were used to the looseness. And at the same time, I know as we continue to bring them on, the structure is what's going to keep us very grounded and make us a stronger team overall. So putting the employee handbooks together, letting them know, this is your guide. Here's where you go to find this information, not text me the day before and, you know, say, hey, do we have a Saturday off or, you know, a Friday off since the holiday is on a Saturday? It's like, there's a policy now in place for that so that we don't ever have these questions. We don't have to have these hard conversations with the employees. You know, what are write-ups? What are not write-ups? And how do we handle those things? And timesheets, we finally put all of that into a very strategic form. And so, you know, it's the structure, I think, for us is really the biggest takeaway. And I think that, you know, the new members are enjoying it. And yes, we've lost some because of the structure, but I think that's what's going to help us stay as a core team as we continue to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. So do you have any productivity hacks to help you save time?
Productivity. One of them is delegate the crap out of anything you possibly can.
Yeah.
And then another one is, I do a lot of time blocking to make sure that I'm respecting different things, making sure I am getting my workout in and treating that as a meeting and, you know, blocking off the phone during those times. I also started blocking out Wednesdays from meetings just as a way of, let me catch up midweek with the team. Let me catch up on anything midweek that's kind of going out, you know, like in a weird direction.
Yeah.
So some of that sort of thing. And then, I love Boomerang, but I think Google's finally incorporating it in their email. But the scheduling out, I'll sit down at night and just kind of bounce through some emails, but respecting that boundary of I'm not hitting send at, you know, 9 o'clock at night. So I will send it out first thing in the morning so that it's just off my plate, ready to go. And that's another one that's been super, super helpful. For a long time, I had to go in and hit send first thing in the morning on all my drafts and, you know, hope I hit, you know, send on the right one. The other one wasn't a draft, whatever. So just having that boomerang has been a lifesaver for me to schedule stuff out.
Awesome. That's a great idea. I love that. So what systems or software have been critical for helping streamline your operations? I know you mentioned, you know, having that training in place for employees. Has there been any other systems that you've put in place that have been really helpful?
Yeah, so we use Insightly for our CRM. And really for us, it's both CRM and project management. There's a lot of hipper, more like known CRMs out there. I've been with Insightly probably, I think, since I hired my first employee in probably 2011 or something. And they have grown right along with me. And so we've built out our pipelines for our processes and for our projects and everything. I think we've probably got 50 pipelines in there. And yeah, that was time. That was all like me going in and setting up every single task, every single phase, every single who's it assigned to, how long. But I mean, it's what keeps us on track. It's what keeps me from having to, you know, the customer experience that we've talked about, right? It keeps us on, did we send login details? Did we ask for this information? Did the hosting get changed? Did conversion tracking get put into place? And so it really just outlines for the team, did you do this? And did this get done? And so I'd say that's probably our biggest and best tool. Yeah, we use Slack. Yeah, we have, you know, other tools out there that we use from a digital space, but the CRM has just been, everyone knows how to contact anybody. All the information is in there. Yeah. And then, you know, and the reason we use it is most of them only do CRM or project management. Very few tools that we have found allow the integration of both. So you'd have to update the contact in your CRM and then update contact in your project management tool. Mm-hmm. And that is ultimately one of the main reasons we ended up going with and staying with, was how customized Insightly allowed us to be, as well as only having to stay in one platform compared to two.
Very cool. I love that. Yeah, that's such a good point. It's normally you just have to go up and you're constantly updating your CRM, which is such a pain in the butt. So yeah. And I know I use HubSpot and I love that it integrates with Gmail as well. So it creates that initial contact for you, which is so nice as well.
Yeah. Anytime you can use any, you know, and then clients will ask us like, what CRM should I be using? I've done the research. There's so many out there, and there's so many for specific industries. They don't make them for marketing agencies in the way that we work. And so that was the customization was more important, where I think it's like mind body is fantastic for fitness owners, you know, and whatnot. Yeah. And so it really is understanding and doing the research for, Jane is another one that's really good for the health practitioners. And so like, you can't say, use this one specific one. It's what is your business doing?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree 100%. So knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would have done differently when you were first starting out?
You know, and this has been such a journey for me. It's, you know, I didn't know when I started this. People always ask me too, like, where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? I'm like, I didn't know I was going to be here. I never, ever thought, I mean, I'm 12 years in out of business and no, I never thought we'd be where we're at. And so, you know, it's really just continuing. And so in terms of like looking back, I've just really taken it as a journey and learned so much. And I think that's, you know, the trial and errors, the knowing that didn't work. Let's not do that again. How do we help our clients not run into the same issue? Yep. And really putting that practical stuff to use. I don't know if there's, you know, one thing that I'd say though, that like, I wish I had done differently, because it's all just, it's helped us get here.
Yeah. I tend to ask that question so that if anyone's listening who's starting out, they can sort of learn from any mistakes that you, not mistakes, but something that you maybe would have done differently type thing. So, but I know that, you know, everyone has their own journey and those mistakes are necessary as part of your journey as an entrepreneur.
Every mistake, like that's just it. I'm like, I can't say there's one mistake that I'm like, wow, I really learned from. And at the same time, like, I think something I've learned is, I remember when I first hired a business coach back in 2016-17, right at that transition of the year. And I would just call her freaking out every single time something happened. You know, it didn't matter what it was.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know, almost 5 years ago or something. And now I'm just like, that's happening. We'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And so just knowing like, hey, we've been through that. Hey, this is going to happen. That something worse is going to happen tomorrow. And just finally learning it's a roller coaster. It's an up and down journey. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad. And so, you know, it's the mistakes are okay. We learned from it. We'll figure out where we go from here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just having that confidence in yourself too, because it's amazing how much we all grow in, you know, 5 years time. You know, you look back and you're like, wow, I've come a long way. So just knowing that you'll get there, it'll get easier, and just give yourself that credit.
For sure. And yeah, I think slowing down to understand what can I learn from the mistake and applying it is the helpful piece. People that are just going or like really dwelling on a mistake that they can't move past it, or just really hard on themselves for it.
Yeah.
It's not, how can we learn from it? What is the takeaway and make sure it doesn't happen again? And then, yeah, things do start to get easier and better.
Yeah, I agree. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So
perfect.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh, I don't read much at all. It's not been my forte or favorite place to be is in a book. But I usually do audiobooks. And if I do, I think Do Less by Kate Northrup was one that I really enjoyed, to just kind of, you know, not taking on so much. And then Making Money is Killing Your Business by Chuck Blakeman was another one. It just really made me, that's the documentation and the processes that really came out of Making Money is hurting your, is killing your business, of, you know, selling it more as a product instead of a service, documenting and having processes. So those are two that I really found helpful.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine is wake up and get out the door and get a workout in. I have learned that working out in the morning is 1,000 times better for me, and not early. I'm not an early morning, you know, 5 a.m. at the gym type of person. I probably don't get to the office till 10:30, but I work at night a little bit longer. And so I've just learned I can't get those evening workouts in, and I don't like being around that many people at a gym.
Yeah.
So my morning routine is wake up, out the door, hit the gym, and then get into my day and get to moving.
No, I'm with
you. I don't read. I don't slow down and, you know, oh, let me sit here for an hour drinking coffee. I just can't. I'm on the go too much. I'm just moving.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. No, and it's true about the gym, getting it done first thing in the morning, because if you just push it, you're tired at the end of the day, and then it doesn't happen.
Or the whole day blows up and you're like, I got to take care of this email instead. I got to address this client's concern instead. And so you start making the excuses where in the morning, everything's pretty quiet still.
Totally. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not really. My journey, like I said, I didn't know I was going to be getting into business. So I haven't really focused a whole lot on like, how did this person do this or that person do that? I've really found that I've surrounded myself with amazing, amazing mentors and resources. It's really more what I have done and found those that can help guide me through the journey, and local resources that I'm just, every time something had come up that you and I are talking about, right, of like the mistakes you make, I just always said to myself, like, I'm just so glad I knew this person. I'm so glad I had taken this, you know, workshop. I'm so glad I knew this resource. And those are the things that really allowed me to get through. So I pay attention to CEOs, but I'm not necessarily like, that's my idol. I want to be them.
Gotcha. And what is your favorite online tool?
I would say Boomerang is for sure. That was helping respect the boundaries of being able to schedule out the emails. And I do. I love working. I'll work at night, catch up just so that it's off my plate. I'm not stressing. And just realizing don't hit send. And so I do it on the weekends. It's so much easier to just have that stuff set to go out later. Or sometimes I'll push it out for 3 hours. I don't need the client to know I've finished it that quickly.
Yeah.
Send that out in 3 hours. That way it gets out the door. But they're realizing and setting up that expectation that just because they email me, they're not going to get a response within 5 minutes, and setting those types of expectations.
That's a great tip. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think the hustle it was going to take and the grind, it's been 12 years and I still hustle every single day. I'm still working more hours than I should. You know, I'm still finding myself making the exception of, oh, I'll work on this instead of doing, you know, blank activity. And I love it, but I definitely, you know, it's not the, oh, I'll get to set my own schedule and work my own hours. My goals might be different. I mean, we're currently at about 12 on the team, and we're trying to get to 2025. So like my goals are a little different in the fact that there's still a lot of growth ahead of us. Mm-hmm. But anyone that's saying, oh, I'm going to quit corporate and go do my, you know, my own thing, and I'm going to set my own schedule, and I'm going to have all the free time I want. It's not really how that works at all. And so had I known how much time and, you know, that it was going to take, then yeah, I might have I don't know if I would have chosen a different route or not, but I did not know that going into it.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's definitely not the easiest road, but I do think it is the most rewarding, just building a successful agency.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And that's why I'm like, I don't actually work. I love what I do. I love helping the businesses. I love learning about more businesses. I love, you know, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know that was possible. I didn't even think about, you know, selling a business. I didn't think about buying a business. I didn't, whatever it is, to me, it's just another day of what are we going to do today? This will be fun. But yeah, definitely grinding though.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Paige. It was great having you on the podcast, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me. Really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.